Good morning and welcome. We're continuing this morning our series on the Psalms. Nick kicked this off a couple of weeks ago with us looking at Psalm 23, and last week we looked at Psalm 46. The one thing about the Psalms is that they kind of cover the full range of experience, human experience, from great celebration, great joy, great worship, to psalms of suffering, prayers of desperation, prayers for protection, evidence of suffering and great trials and temptation. The psalm we're looking at today, though, is slightly different in a sense to all of those. I'd almost call it a psalm of revelation. It's as if we're looking over David's shoulder as he pours out this fresh understanding, this deeper, profound understanding that he's kind of receiving in relationship to the living God. And this thing that David is understanding, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps in a really much more profound and deep way, is that the living God, the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, knows him personally, knows him at depth, knows him intimately. That this God who is everywhere present all of the time is actually, he's not just a kind of ethereal, sort of impersonal presence in the universe. He is personally present with David wherever he is. And finally, that the all-powerful God who created all things, created the universe, the stars, the billions of stars, some of them billions of light years away, actually was involved personally in the creation of David himself in his mother's womb. Nick is going to read this passage to us in a few moments. I've just got to warn you, though, that there's a point in the passage that this psalm has a bit of a... it's going beautifully, and suddenly it's as if David hits reality. But there's evil in this world. There are bad, wicked people. God, and, I hate these people. I want you to destroy them. And it kind of sits a bit uncomfortably with our kind of, I guess, how we would consider, we would view what we might call our enemies. Hold on to that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And then the psalm finishes with these lovely verses where David comes back and says, and it's almost as if he's saying, do you know what? There are enemies of God. There are people out there that do bad, wicked things. But I need God still. Please, would you still search me? Would you know me? Would you test me and try me? And would you guide me and keep me in your paths? His consciousness that he himself has perhaps a tendency for waywardness and a need to be kept close, close, close to this wonderful living God who knows him so well. So Vic is going to read the passage now for us, and listen and savour these words. They are beautiful. Enjoy them.
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your right hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, Vicky. Hope you enjoyed that. Beautiful, beautiful words. Fantastic psalm. This psalm, in some way, it very easily splits into four distinct sections. The first section is, and each of them are six verses long. And this first section, really, from verses 1 to 6, starting off, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me," is all about this sense that this God that knows everything knows me personally, knows me intimately. That God isn't just a data bank full of knowledge, he knows. And there's this sense, which I find fascinating, that this God that kind of knows everything, yet he searches the hearts and the minds of humankind. And David senses this searching of God in his heart. In verse 3 it says, "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." This sense that this God that knows me so well, he knows my attitudes, my habits, but he knows also my values. He knows what matters to me. And he knows my flaws, my weaknesses, my fragilities, knows my bad attitudes as well. Verse 4, "Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely." Vicky and I have been married for nearly 40 years now, so we're very, very good at finishing off one another's sentences. But this is a God who knows what we're going to say before we open our mouths, before our tongues twitch to form a word. He knows what those words are going to be. And there's this sense that this knowledge, it kind of, David talks about it hemming him in behind and before, and about God laying his hand upon him. This sense that this search is quite invasive and quite close. But nevertheless, in verse 6, David welcomes this. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." David is thrilled at the sense that the living God that David would matter enough, that God would search and know him and put his spotlight upon his life. There's a sense, I think, that when we talk about God searching us, often we're expecting him to find bad stuff in us. And of course he does. There's an awful lot there that isn't necessarily brilliant. But also he's looking for those things that please him, that bless him, and where we're responding to him and working with him and yielding to him and allowing his Holy Spirit to do a precious work of change in our lives. God's looking for that as well, not just the bad stuff. And the second section, from verses 7 to 12, we're introduced to this sense of the omnipresent God, that this God that is omniscient, he knows everything, is also a God who is everywhere, always. You can't escape him. David talks about rising on the wings of the dawn and settling on the far side of the sea, going up to the heavens and to the depths. And there, you know, we remember in David's story those times when he was in the wilderness and he was hiding in caves and he was climbing up mountains to escape from Saul when Saul was after him. And he found God was there. God was with him. He was far from Jerusalem, far from that place where the Ark of the Covenant was. In a sense, God's presence was, but God was there. He was with him. How amazing. And I guess there were times also when David may have felt a distance from God, that he'd gone to a place where kind of God possibly wasn't, because he was responding, he was disobeying God, he was walking away from God. But it's as if David finds that although he's travelled and he's gone away from God, he gets there and finds God is still there. God's kind of waiting for him there to guide him back onto the path. It says in verse 10, "Even there, in this place where David tries to go to escape God, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." This thing about darkness and light, if I say in verse 11, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me. That David, he's experienced the darkness, but he knows that God's light is there for him. And then we come on to the third section, verses 13 to 18. And this is about God, the creator of all things, and yet involved in the creation of David, involved in the creation of you and of me. Amazing. David, in verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That God has, although there's a sense in which our creation is part of, you could say, is a biological process, but every human being has an eternal spirit within them that is dead until it comes alive, is brought alive in Jesus. But nevertheless, it's an eternal spirit breathed in by God. God is there as we're formed in the womb, breathing life into us. And in verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That he was involved in my creation in the womb, this knitting together of my life and breathing this life into me. But he was involved in it with a plan in his mind. Beautiful. And then verse 17 and 18, it gets better and better. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This God, this omnipotent God, this omnipresent God, this great powerful God is thinking about David every minute of every day. His thoughts are just innumerable for David. This is what he's seeing. This is what he's understanding. And then we get to the final section, this kind of reality check section, where David's attention is drawn to the nitty-gritty of life, the fact that there are evil people in this world, people he wants to distance himself from, people he says are enemies of God, and, you know, he wants nothing to do with. And there is this sense in which, you know, this is talking about the need to separate from the world, to become, to identify with this living God and disidentify, if that word exists, with those that are against him. David speaks of those that are bloodthirsty, that speak of God with evil intent, people that misuse God's name, people that hate God and in rebellion against him. And I guess this is this kind of passage is part of the psalm where we get a bit uncomfortable maybe, and we're thinking we shouldn't be hating people. We shouldn't. Jesus taught us, didn't he, to love our enemies and to pray for them. And that's exactly what we should do. And the truth is, as Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 10, we were once enemies of God. We were in that place of being at odds with God until we received the salvation that Jesus offers us. We were part of that problem, if you like, before we became part of the God's sort of joining with God in his work and in his plan. So I guess our attitude to this kind of thing about the enemies of God is maybe different. But our identifying with these last two verses, I think, is beautiful and powerful. That we too, we need to acknowledge that that we are susceptible to hiding things from God. We know it's foolish. We can't really hide anything from him. But these last two verses, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David saw these amazing truths, that the fact that this God of the universe is so incredibly personal to each and every one of us, that he knows us so intimately, that he is with us in this time of uncertainty, of difficulty. God is with us. He is with us. I love that verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. There's lots of anxious thoughts spinning around at the moment with all that's going on. But he knows. He understands us. He understands us so well. The great thing, I think, just to finish off with, There are two great human needs, really, fundamental human needs. And one is that we should be known. The difficulty with being known is that what's in us isn't necessarily always very nice. If everybody knew my every single thought, my every selfish attitude, my petty annoyances, my foolish fantasies, then, you know, I wouldn't perhaps be quite so easy to love. So there's this dilemma, really, this tension between the desire to be known and this other desire to be loved. The wonderful, wonderful truth is that we are fully and completely and perfectly known by the living God, but we are also completely and perfectly loved, as Jesus demonstrated in his death on the cross for us, that we may come into this precious and wonderful relationship with him. Let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your incredible love to us, Lord. Thank you for the truth of this psalm, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you know us. Oh God, there's nothing about us you do not know, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that we can't, you know, even if we are currently not walking with you as we should, Lord God, if we would stop and turn around, we would find you're there still waiting for us, ready to come back and move us back into your purposes and into your plans, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were there for each one of us in our creation, Lord. You are our personal, in a sense, creator. You breathed life into each one of us, and you did so with a plan in mind, a wonderful plan, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this, Lord, and we thank you for your calling and your equipping as such for all of us that for such a time as this. We pray for courage, oh God. We pray for faith, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we would welcome your spotlight into our lives at this time, your searching of our hearts and our lives, oh God. We would welcome this because we know you love us so very, very much and have the best for us. Amen.